Hi everyone. This interview is part of UCL's Junior Lawyers Against Poverty Chapter interview series. And conducting this interview would be myself, Brandon, Vice President of the chapter, and Emily, Executive Coordinator of the chapter. We are privileged to have with us here today Ms. Amanda Pinto, Queen's Counsel. Ms. Pinto is an expert in international corporate and financial crime. Her advisory work spans across civil, criminal, and regulatory matters. She's a leader in her field, and she has served as chair of the International Committee of Bar Council from 2015 to 2018, vice chair of the Bar Council in 2019, and chair of the Bar Council in 2020. So, Amanda, when did you know that you wanted to become a barrister?
That's a good question. And first of all, can I say thank you very much for having me? It's an absolute pleasure to be here. I knew that I wanted to be a lawyer from quite early. I mean, in my teenage years, I would say. But I had absolutely no idea that barristers were even a thing, actually, until I got to university when basically people said to me, you talk so much, you must be going to be a barrister. And I found out a bit about it. And I actually did a mini pupillage in a chambers called Devereux Chambers, which is in Middle Temple. And I absolutely loved it. It was a very general set then, did all sorts of different types of law. And I loved the variety. I loved the camaraderie. I liked the interaction of sort of academic or intellectual stimulation with speaking and advocacy and also helping people. And I also really like the collegiality of it.
Right. So you mentioned that you enjoyed the advocacy aspect of being a barrister, right? Perhaps you could expand a bit more on what you meant by the advocacy.
Sure, Brandon. Well actually I think it's worth saying that when I came to the bar, I knew I didn't want to do crime and I didn't want to do family law. That's what I'm law, sort of commercial pupillage. So very, very broad. And what I found was that it was, or indeed writing documents on behalf of people. So articulating what the legal cause was and trying to know. So when I talk about advocacy, what actually happened to me was I was not taken on as a tenant in the first set I did completely by chance, actually. But I absolutely loved it because I loved going to court day in, day out, doing lots of different cases and representing lots of different people, both for the prosecution and the defence. And that is what I mean, giving the best possible voice to somebody to get their point across, to get their legal case across to somebody that will objectively and independently make a decision about it.
Right. And you mentioned that you did a pupillage as well. Could you perhaps share a bit about what law students might expect if they were to pursue a pupillage as well?
Sure. So obviously I'm quite old now. but as a general proposition, pupillage is a great opportunity actually to find out a lot about different parts of the law and the different ways that different barristers approach it actually, and indeed different judges. I think one of the downsides of it, frankly, is it feels like a year-long interview, which no doubt a training contract does as well. But if you look at it as a positive and just this great expanse of opportunity to get lots of information and gain knowledge about lots of different aspects of the law, even if you've decided that you want to go into a particular area of law, I think one of the fantastic things about being a barrister is that every case is different and you never get bored.
Well, thank you, Amanda, for your answer. You provided us with really insightful and detailed information about your experience into what made you want to become a barrister. Now I would like to ask you, throughout your career as one, how, if any, has gender inequality had an impact on it?
It certainly has had an impact. I think I'm delighted to say that the Bar Council and generally at the bar now, there's a great deal more understanding and recognition of discrimination and the ways that we must address it. I think looking at it overall, I would say that it has taken me longer than a man to get to where I got to. As a generalisation, I think it was harder in that I don't believe that I got as many chances perhaps as I ought to have done if everything was completely fair. But I think that the really important thing is A, to acknowledge it, that it does exist. B, when somebody tells you that they feel as if they're not getting a proper chance, not just to dismiss it, because that's extremely unhelpful in whatever way, whether that's race, religion, background, you know, social mobility issues, or gender. All of these aspects of life will make a difference to your experience, but they can also be, and I think one again needs to look at it as if one can in a positive light, by saying that you do have something different to offer. If you have different parts of you and different background and experience to other people. And so when I think about what has happened to me, I mean, I could spend the whole of the interview telling you terrible stories. I am not going to. But I do think it's frustrating to hear people who suggest that it just isn't there, because it is, and it was, and we're definitely going in the right direction. We've got a lot of further to travel. But I think one of the underlying issues that we need to change actually is to recognise that society in itself puts up barriers. And just to give a very basic one, I happen to be the mother of three children, and you know, lovely and helpful as my husband is, I was, the buck stopped with me generally when the children were younger, in organising childcare, etc., when I was at work. And so I think things are moving societally in the right direction, but it also affects, for example, what people's expectations are. So, you know, do solicitors instruct as many women in very serious work as they do men? I don't think they do, certainly not in my area. And I think that's something that we all need to address. So there's lots of different ways and parts of the system where it needs to be addressed. And if I could just give you some of them. So first of all, we need to ensure that solicitors are giving instructors without discriminating in any way. Secondly, we need to ensure that the clerks, the people that distribute the work in chambers equally, we've got the structures. I think you need to have structures in place. And I think it's really important also to keep the data, because sometimes people think they're doing really well because they've instructed a woman in a case and then they've realised they've actually instructed another seven men in the meantime. So we just need, it's not that their heart isn't in the right place, but people's memories sometimes get skewed. So that's another thing. And importantly, actually, barristers themselves need to take responsibility, because if, for example, I have two cases at the same time and I need to give one away, when I'm suggesting to the clerks, for example, or the solicitor who might take it, I must be thinking very rigorously about sharing the work equally so that everybody gets the best opportunity to get the best practice that they can. And if I may be blunt, I don't think that's what happened when I was going up through the ranks. And I am, as Brendan kindly introduced me, a QC, and my area is financial crime, which is very male dominated. There are lots of excellent female barristers who are juniors, but I took Silk in 2006. The first case where there were two QCs who were women in it, one of them being me, was 2018. And I think that's shocking. And we also know from the statistics that the Bar Standards Board have gathered that women earn significantly less than men. And we know that, for example, even with the Crown Prosecution Service, who, if I may say so, have done a huge amount of work to try to get equality in general, or to raise the profile of women on the panels that they put forward to instruct barristers, they found that even if they were doing well with the number of people on the panel, they actually found that the vast majority of the work and the money was going to men. So these are all things that it's only possible to really know about if you're keeping the data. And that's why I think everybody has the responsibility to do that, so that we've got a sort of concrete evidential basis for taking things forward, or at least for understanding where we are with how much further we have to go.
Well, wow, that was indeed some shocking information, I have to admit. Can I ask just a follow-up question?
If I may say so, Emily, everyone was shocked. Everyone thought they were doing quite well. And in a sense, women aren't that shocked. And if you talk about race and you talk about how Black barristers are doing, for example, in comparison to white, the figures are also shocking. But if you ask a Black barrister, are they shocking? They go, well, I mean, we expected them. Of course, that's our experience. But when it's put in black and white, it's unanswerable, isn't it? You've got to address it.
So what I wanted to say was, what I gathered is that your main point is that we have to acknowledge it. That is the first step towards change. And you mentioned that this is a wider societal phenomenon. So I wanted to say, what are your considerations towards this being implemented into law school as early as law school? Because law students have to know what is expected of them and how the situation is. I don't know whether that was the case with you when you were at law school, but because society has moved on and things have changed, do you think that we should incorporate this as early as law school?
Well, if you ask me, we should be starting at primary school, or probably nursery school, actually. We need to board. But yes, I absolutely do agree with you. It should be acknowledged and addressed in law schools. And the interesting thing is that both, and the solicitors for profession has the same issues. They're actually more than 50% women going in at the bottom. I think it's 60% of solicitors starting off training contracts are women. But by the time you get to partnership, it's very, very low again. And particularly in the sort of more commercial magic circle firms, for example, it's very, very low. So those are matters that are the reality that we should all be addressing. And the thing that I feel very strongly about is this is not a female issue, in the same way that race is not the issue of those who are not British white people. It's everybody's issue, and everybody must be addressing it. And the result will be a better profession and a better society for everybody. It's not as if it's a seesaw, and if one's going up, the other's going down. It's better for everybody. So this is the trouble, you see, I keep talking, but the reality is that, in answer to your question, there's a simple answer, and it's yes. We should.
Right.